Today, on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. It's a film club edition, and I am joined once again by Wake Luar to talk about one of their favorite films of all time, Some Kind of Wonderful.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This feature is timeless. Love it like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love them. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This feature is timeless. Love it like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having
it's
me,
been
Silas.
So long.
I know.
Since we last met in the airwaves.
Absolutely.
And you helped make this an international podcast.
Is that what they call it when Canadians come on? International.
Yeah, that's how we get our cred. We get our international cred. Guests from all over the world. Do not disturb. This time you came back to not talk about a recent film, but your all-time favorite film.
It is. I mean, it was my all-time favorite when I was, 15 years old, and I watched it probably 100 times, and I've watched it over the years. I wrote an essay on it for film class in the 90s.
With the film for the listeners.
Yes.
Because they can't see the graphics.
Oh, they're not going to see the graphics?
Well, the ones on the podcast aren't.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely.
The film is John Hughes's Some Kind of Wonderful.
Right? Yes. Some Kind of Wonderful. The least appreciated of all of the John Hughes films, even though I feel like it is the best. I'm just going to come right off of the hop and just say that.
I don't know if this is correct. The song Some Kind of Wonderful is not from this?
No. Is it even in it? I don't think it's in it.
It's not in it.
No, and they do Amanda Jones. They have it's a great soundtrack. I listen to the soundtrack all the time. But no, not Some Kind of Wonderful. No.
Because I kept saying it. I kept singing. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch that film. Some Kind of Wonderful. And I was and then I'm like, wait, this is not, I kept waiting for the song to come on.
Yeah, it never comes.
Never showed up. And I was like,
so
is that?
Maybe they listened to the song, made it happen. I don't know. I've never researched this film. Is that weird?
I don't think so. So Some Kind of Wonderful, it's Soul Six Brother. It's 1966. Okay.
That's the song. Yes.
Yeah. I was trying to. I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big, fine car. I got everything a man could want.
Absolutely.
I got more than I can. I'm trying to where?
Yeah, it's definitely the movie is based on the themes of the song. Absolutely. Huh. Yeah. Because it's about some really they're supposed to blue collar side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
You know what I found fascinating about it? Leah Thompson and Eric Stoltz star in it, right?
And Mary Stuart Masterson.
And Mary Stuart Masterson. But what I found interesting about the Eric Stoltz part was...
he's the romantic lead.
Right. But in 1985 came out Back to the Future.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which Leah Thompson is in.
Is she?
Yeah, she's Lorraine, the mom.
She's the mom?
Leah Thompson, yeah.
What?
She's the mom and you go back to the future and she's the young mom and hitting. But you know.
How did I not know that? Because she wasn't a redhead in it, I guess, probably.
But Eric Stoltz was originally Marty McFly.
What?
Yeah.
No.
He got fired.
And what happened?
He got replaced fired? Because he wasn't funny.
He's not funny.
No, he wasn't funny. And so they were doing, they wanted something a little funny.
So they had to reshoot a whole bunch, like the first. I think
I want to see the Eric Stoltz original.
I think it was like a week, and they were like, they sat him down. They're like, they thought he was going to be upset, and they said he was not having fun. He was trying to play it super serious and everything. And they're like, this is not
sci-fi
the
movie.
Right tone for this, because he was taking like, this is a horrible thing that's happening. So Michael J. Fox took that. I think Leah Thompson stayed in it then, because she wasn't recast. You know who was recast? The girlfriend, the actual girlfriend.
Yeah.
Originally, who was cast off of Leah Stoltz is, I'm forgetting her name now. She plays on the, she was on The Office. She was the boss on The Office.
And I haven't watched The Office.
The Office of the Boss. But when they cast Michael J. Fox, she was too tall, so they kicked her off. They replaced her.
Because he's so small. He's on the
Michael J. Fox,
first episode of Night Court, I think, or second.
He might be.
He plays a child to Harry Anderson. Yeah. But he's like 25.
Oh, so he
and
was
Harry
still
Anderson's
the,
like 30. Yeah. 32. Yeah. And so they're like this like close in age, but like the height differential is so huge that Michael J. Fox played like a young teenager kind of like in Night Court. And it's wild.
I will say
that I just restarted watching Night Court.
The first thing that struck me about this film.
Yes.
Is the difference in how we look at ages now.
Oh my gosh. Don't they look so old?
They're old. They are so old in this film. Like you are not.
They're not teenagers.
Leah Thompson,
kids.
You are long past passing for a high schooler.
17.
But that was the era.
It was the era. And I think it was probably because they were making out all the time and they didn't want teenagers to have to do that kind of stuff. Like ethically, it made more sense to have.
I don't
think
they really cared about that.
You don't think they cared?
No, I think it's purely money and union because you can't shoot as long. With under 18.
I was just assuming that they were good people. They're not. You're right. John Hughes did some really shitty stuff.
You can get cast a lot if you are, I forget what they call it, the over 18 reading under, something like that.
Right.
You can cast a lot because you can work the full 12 hours without, with just regular union breaks.
Right.
But you pass as a high schooler. So they can use, super valuable. Like
none of them passed as high schoolers.
Oh, no. But this was the era. Remember, everything was old people playing in these films.
Teenagers,
and
absolutely.
You have to because it's gross. It is really, really gross. But you know what I think this caused? I think it caused a lot of confusion in people. I think a lot of people didn't understand, like, you look back because you're just thinking about, like, I mean, this film, this film did have Leah Thompson flirting with her gym teacher.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't just her gym teacher. It was her driver's ed teacher principal.
Driver's ed
the gym teacher was the woman.
Too?
He was the principal. Yeah. That's
what
she's flirting with him to get out of detention.
I forgot that he was principal too.
And I've seen this movie. So she says, all the girls think your hair looks so nice. Yeah. Like the way that you do your hair. And he's like, oh, but he doesn't actually like flirt back really. So it wasn't as gross
but
as it could have been.
Like,
I think she flattered him and he was like,
which is a stupid flatter because he does no hair. So it's a joke.
It's a joke. Absolutely.
He shouldn't fall for it. But I'm like, oh my God, because this was an age I tell people they don't believe me. Like
this is the actual 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not pretending to be any other era. It is the 80s.
I tell Josh Chambers all the time, like, look, I grew up in a very confusing era where people thought it was naughty to for a teacher to sleep with their student. It was naughty.
My gosh.
Like they played it was playful on there. It was like, you shouldn't do that. You boys will be boy. Like what?
Oh yeah.
And now, like catch it. Like I mean, this would never. Well, that scene. I don't know if that would pass. But now they cast more. I think closer.
Appropriate age.
Closer,
they do. They're
perfect, but they're closer.
And if you watch teen films now, they're teenagers, so they're not ideally not Riverdale. Ugh, Riverdale.
Yeah.
that series. That no, is definitely older TV people shows, playing teenagers. Yeah.
Maybe the pilot episode, but then there's like a year before they get picked up and then they're starting to age out, but they're like, well, we're going to keep going and we need them to stay in high school for this whole time.
Oh, that's fair.
But I was stricken by just how old they were and going like, wow, that's just a different time. But okay, this is a high schooler. I'm going to, especially that the not gangster, the punk guy. Yeah. Who's like 40. Like,
I
what?
Know. That's what I said. We watched it last night. I said, what is he, 40? He's he carries a switchblade and porno, you know, and there's one swear in the whole entire movie, which is why it isn't R-rated, right?
It's PG-13. Just one swear. Yeah, it's PG-13.
Yeah, because you're allowed at one F-bomb for PG-13.
Yeah.
Because the dad swears. That dad, oh my gosh, when we get to him, I just want to talk about how amazing. He really cared. He really cared about that role. He just went all in. He was the daddest of all of the 80s dads. He's like the genuine dad.
He's wait, that actor's name. I
don't even know what his name is. I should know more about this movie because I love it so much.
Well, he's great. He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. He's I think it's John Ashton. Yeah, plays Cliff. Cliff. Yeah,
that would be Cliff. Right. Yeah,
John Ashton. Because he was the cop in Beverly Hills Cop. He was like one of the detectives. So he's somebody you see a lot in a lot of things.
He's a character actor, but I'd never I think everyone in this film really went all in. They acted.
The acting is it's a greatly acted film. They're all wonderful. They are some kind of wonderful in this. Yeah. Well, because also like, here's the funny thing about casting adults in teen roles, right? Like the scene where I want to say the character names, Mary Sue, Watts and Keith, when she shows him like wants to test his kissing.
Oh my gosh, this is my favorite movie. That's like when I was 16, I was like, oh God. I mean, there was no porno back then.
Right.
There was just movies. So that one I watched
it was
over.
Scrambled, the Spice Channel.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
Maybe not in Canada.
Yeah.
Nobody did. Nobody ever owned it. I just watched
that scene over and over again. I was like, this is the best scene.
Right.
Yeah. And because they're adults.
Could you imagine
that scene
between 18 year olds?
No.
Because because that was bad. Because when you see adults say, let me check that kiss, and then they kiss and one of them swoons, because you're like, 18 year olds can't kiss.
No.
Nobody knows how to kiss yet.
No.
Like, they,
no.
like, if you, yeah. that'd be
you're
impossible.
Like, do I turn my head this way? Do I turn my head this way? Too much tongue? What
too much,
is this?
It's so smooth.
No, I was still learning.
There's a level of smoothness.
Well, and it was supposed to not be smooth, right? Like, it was supposed to be like they were both bad at this because they've never dated. But that kiss was like off the charts.
Yeah.
And I think Watts actually blushes, right? Like she turns completely red because when he's walking away, he's like, oh, you're blushing. And you look at her and she's like, either the makeup people painted her pink or she was actually like, whoa, that was a really good kiss.
I'm guessing they painted her used her acting skills, but I guess
to flush your face. Yeah, that was impressive.
Do you know how those scenes take a long time to shoot?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, she's walking.
I worked on a horror film.
Right,
once.
She's walking away, so that's a whole nother shot. That's like,
you're right.
That's the next day.
She just went running.
Yeah,
and then
you do what you got to do. That was a good. You know, what's funny is I've caught glimpses. I realized I'd never seen the movie before. I've seen parts of it before.
Yes,
and I think I would run into. I'd see that scene.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that it was a high school movie.
Oh yeah, like absolutely.
The scenes I'd caught had been out like that, like near. Yeah. I had caught the end before, and I'd caught that scene, but I never actually watched the movie, so I didn't know it took place at a high school. And I was like, once I realized it was a John Hughes film, I was like, oh yeah, because he did a lot of high school.
It's
stuff
all high school movies, yeah. I mean, all of his high schoolers were super old, except for maybe in Pretty in Pink. I don't know how old Molly Ringwald and Ducky were.
Do you know what's funny about that? I was just reading about this.
Yeah.
Some Kind of Wonderful was basically a repeat of Pretty in Pink. They wanted to repeat Pretty in Pink, but they wanted to
have the losers win.
Well, reverse the genders.
Yeah.
And because originally in the original version of Pretty in Pink, the loser the friend won.
Yeah.
But the test audience didn't like it. So they were unhappy. So they just redid the film. They did. Yeah. So he was like, we're going to make it again.
I know. They didn't want Ducky to win. Yeah. But in this, it works out perfectly because you get two women with getting what they want, right? Like you get one woman going, now I get to stand on my own.
Yeah.
And one woman going, you know what? Like I've been in love with my best friend forever. And finally he gets it. And so they, like everyone wins at the end of this movie, which is just incredible.
Did he earn it? I mean, did he like his turn to like liking her?
Oh my gosh.
Out of nowhere.
No. And the kiss is when he goes, just a second, wait. And they're always like, they like lie in bed together and they like, you know, and there's moments throughout the film where Watts is just like showing all of her cards. Right. And he's like, I don't know why you're so mad right now. Right. Like, so I think
what a dumb boy.
That's why they had to put the montage of all of the moments,
you know,
when he's going, walking up to her, it's like, remember this, that happened like an hour ago.
Remind everybody. Hey, but what? Like, what's confusing about, like, as a boy, like if he's an 18-year-old boy that you saw, if you saw him as an 18-year-old boy, you'd be like, yeah, of course he doesn't get it because 18-year-old boys are idiots.
Absolutely. Yes.
But when you see it's like a grown adult going, like, how do you not see that she's in love, you idiot? And then I'm like, well, I mean, granted.
Well, I think that's why they play up the fact that she might be a lesbian, right? Like they kind of like toy with the fact that he's her best friend because she's not into guys. Right?
You think that he's not sure? Do you think he's not sure?
Yeah, he's not sure. Well, because she's never dated anyone, right?
Yeah.
They don't talk about love. This is the first time they've talked about love. As soon as he mentions Amanda Jones, that's the first conversation they're having about anybody in that sort of realm. And so that's why she gets so mad, because up until that point, nothing, right? Like they just talk about drums and art and how horrible her family was that you never ever saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my big question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was his plan with Amanda Jones at the end? His like, I'm going to get, he paid everybody to do all this stuff, like to get this, to get into this museum to show his stalker painting. Which is it's creepy.
Even just wait, doesn't she address
weird.
That
it was also
she
weird looking.
She well because he's supposed to be 18. That's why I also was like, that painting's not a great painting,
right?
But I'm like, I guess if he's supposed to be an 18-year-old painter, it shouldn't be like
better of an artist. I was expecting a little bit more. He was taking her to all this and then go, and I know. What did he think was going
to
happen?
He just wanted to impress her. Like, I don't think.
Why? If he thought that she was just setting him up, I didn't understand what he thought would happen.
I see what you mean.
He was trying to set her up. And I was like, what's success look like here?
He still liked her at this point. I think he probably didn't. Because his sister goes in and tells him that it's all a joke and that Amanda is in on it, right? And we know that she isn't actually in on it.
Right.
Like, she didn't plan any of this except for that she said yes to him because she wanted to piss off her boyfriend who was... Oh my gosh, I loathe him so much. Like, that smile when she comes out on down the stairs, my friends would practice that smile. That, like, smug...
Yeah.
But that smile. Like, I had a whole group of friends. They would just smile at you like that. And I hated it. They just practiced it every day. Just that like squinty eyed, like smile that didn't reach their eyes. I don't know. That smile that when she comes down the stairs and he just looks at her like, I know I own you.
And he said that. I own
you. Yeah. He's horrific.
Like, what?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, there isn't much to the movie, right? Like, it's all character driven. There's not a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of montages of drumming.
Okay.
It's classic. Drumming.
There's I think it's heavy theme though. I think it's very theme of class warfare.
The class, and I mean, class warfare, societal
satire of bug around here, satire of the hierarchies in a high school, which not uncommon for John Hughes.
So do you assume the listeners know the premise, which is just like this blue collar artist kid whose dad wants him to go to college, but he's really into art and he's kind of femme, and his best friend is like kind of masculine. Like he's soft spoken. He doesn't fight
in the classic art boy way, right?
Art boy. Absolutely. The gender is kind of like, and I think that's why I loved it. Cause like as a non-binary person early on, I was like, none of these people are doing gender correctly, except for Amanda Jones, who's like the, when like the sister goes, she's the definition of sex right at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the young Candace, what's her name? The one from Full House. It's the youngest sister. That I love her. She's so good.
Was that Candace? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
back when she was tolerable.
When she was a child. Yeah. She was great in that. Like everyone they chose was great. They just nailed it. The sister nailed it. Like they all had more than one range of emotion. They all had sort of like the mom was underutilized maybe, but
so the plot line that they put, the log line they put, when Keith goes out with Amanda, the girl of his dreams, Amanda's ex-boyfriend plans to get back at Keith. Meanwhile, Keith's best friend Tomboy Watts realizes she has feelings for Keith.
John Hughes already knew.
Directed by Howard Deutsch, eventually.
Oh yeah, directed by him.
They fired the original female director. She was playing it much darker apparently, and John Hughes was not
because she
it.
Knows. Yeah, you could tell that it was done by a man because in the end, like it all worked out and stuff. It's fine.
Well, it would have been written that way. Like,
yes,
well,
it was definitely written. So because John Hughes wrote it, right, and Howard Deutsch like directed it. Did John Hughes not direct
the other one? He directed some of the other ones, I think, but he didn't direct.
Yes. For a long time, I don't think. His.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that this was a John Hughes movie when I was younger.
Well, you know what it is, because usually you would call it whoever's movie is the director. Usually,
yes,
unless the name of the writer is bigger,
right? And which John Hughes managed to pull off.
I think John Hughes also with that, he was also a producer at this point, because usually you don't get to say anything. You're like, you're the writer, you hand it off, whatever.
Right. But he produced them all. So he did Ferris Bueller's Day Off, yes?
Yes.
And 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink.
Yes.
Some Kind of Wonderful, Breakfast Club. Yeah, he had the whole like 80s sewn up.
Yeah. So this film came out in 1987, shot in 1986. It grossed $18.5 million at the box office. And you know what? If people were paying me to do this, I would have found out what that would equivalent today. But that was no one's paying me. So
it sounds like a lot.
I kind of only do a little research. Yeah. Let's see. I do not have the numbers. I don't have the budget. I didn't see the budget number, but what was interesting though is also Leah Thompson originally had turned down the role, but she was starring in Howard the Duck.
I was gonna say, when she was starring in Howard the Duck, and that was the scariest movie.
It flopped in the box office.
It was awful.
Box office flop. So she accepted it once he reoffered.
She needed the money.
Yeah, or like, oh shoot, I can't have a flop. Like, I need to get another one. Mm-hmm. But then she married the director. They start dating after the filming is complete. Deutsch.
Huh.
Yeah. So it ended up like, I just thought that was fascinating, because wow, you turned down originally who would have been your husband. Like you, you might not have never, they may not have ever got married if they hadn't done the
movie. And are
they
still together now? Did you look that up?
It did not say divorced. So I didn't.
That means that they're probably still together. Those are the numbers. When I look up actors, it's like when they were born, when they died. And then it always has like how many marriages they've had.
Yeah.
And some of them, it's not a lot. And some of them, you're just like 7, 8, 9, 10 marriages.
Some of them are impressive. You know what's interesting? Mm-hmm. You get different numbers here. Wikipedia said 18.5 million, and then Rotten Tomatoes has it like 17.8. That's interesting. You know, I don't buy I don't buy the Rotten Tomatoes scores from movies that are older before Rotten Tomatoes, because like this says audience score of 80%, critic score of 76, but there's only 70, like 45 reviews by critics.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going back to update their old reviews of old films. So I don't know how much the critics like. I mean, it's 25,000 plus audience, but I think it was much more popular in the day than this implies.
In the day, that's what I'm saying. Because if you went back to watch it, and you, as you did, having never seen it, but like I watched it probably like 6 or 7 years after it was made, right? Like, because I wouldn't have been able to watch it. I watched Flashdance when I was 5, and my dad was like, maybe no more movies like that for a little bit.
I had an annoying roommate who loved the film, so I didn't watch it on purpose.
My best friend and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I watched this over and over and over again.
Your friend. Yeah. Like, but I was annoyed by my roommate. So
I was also a drummer. So I was like this and a redhead. So I was like two redhead leaves and a hot tomboy drummer. I was like all in. I was at a crush on every single one of these characters.
But non-binary, we didn't know that was a thing yet, right?
Tomboy. Yeah. I was a tomboy.
But I mean, is that what you would have?
That's what people called. Well, that's what I got called.
Okay.
Along with like a lot of nice lesbian slurs.
Even back then in the '80s, so hard to believe.
I know. So totally. People loved it when you did. Yeah. No, I had like three characters that I would play in grade school, and I would be like, I'm Chris, and here, like, I have like a black Molly Ringwald kind of hat, and I'm like, now I'm masculine, my name is Chris. And then I'd be like Tiffany with these like white butterfly sunglasses, I put them on, I'm like, now I'm Tiffany. No one would call me these things, but I would ask. And then there was just like the name I was assigned at birth, and then people would be like, that's you, and you're like, oh, I hate my name, I hate being whatever it is. And I wouldn't wear dresses. I used to have a gladiator circle after school every day when I was in grade 5 in my backyard, and all the boys would come to the yard, and I had a rock in my purse, and I would swing it around, and I would just like take them out one after one.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, and then people always.
I need to ask my daughter, my 16-year-old, she educates me about current, because I always
trends.
I'm always like, what do they do now? Because like, I wonder what they would say now, because I mean, even when I was a kid, I graduated high school in 92. Mm-hmm. We might say to somebody was like, they got like maybe a tomboy vibe is like their style.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone say they got a style as a non-binary style. I want to ask her, is there a name for now, like a modern name for like, is it femme? Is it just femme or... mask?
Femme would be
mask?
Like what's, femme what's, mask. Yeah,
mask?
Those are,
is, did
yeah,
I just
and
make that
like,
up or is that a thing?
No, mask is like masculine. Femme is like.
So they would just say
the
they got a mask vibe?
Kind of. I don't know if they say that as the kids do. A lot of them say, you know, like I'm non-binary, and then they'll just give you their pronouns. And a lot of some of the kids are using it as a pronoun now.
Also, and wolf too is one.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody
see well and that's it. It's like you just kind of have to like really like update neogenders and stuff or well, yes yeah like transgender
even, well
yes there's a whole bunch of stuff,
you know.
Yeah, but we're gonna be old, right? And I'm just listening because I'm as a non-binary person.
Here's the thing, as my daughter is even like, she gets exhausted sometimes with her friends because she's kind of like, I think it's kind of because she's like,
because she hasn't explored her own gender yet.
Well, she said she's already thought of all this and like thought about it, but she does get annoyed that they keep changing on her.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she's like, okay, last month they were this and now they say this. And
yeah, because it would have been like we were shifting like I was a punk. I was into grunge. I was goth. You're like,
but you're not that fast.
Oh, that fast.
Really?
And within high school, I was into grunge. I was into punk. I was into
economically,
goth aesthetic.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean,
how
we
could
have
you
vintage
just
stores.
Drop your clothes
just
that
vintage stores.
Fast.
Absolutely vintage
change
stores.
Change it up. Well,
yeah,
okay.
Change it up. So
we
like,
didn't have
just...
vintage stores because we were vintage. Okay, we were vintage at the time. I'm
only 5 years younger than you.
That's a 1,000 years.
Well, and it's not though, because where I'm from, we're 10 years behind. So I'm actually older than you. Because we were so far. I was playing marbles when I was 10 years old. Like, that was what we did. We played marbles. We collected marbles. That's from the 1950s, Silas. It was ridiculous. Like, I feel like a boomer, and I'm like the end of the Generation X.
It's the end times.
It is the end times. But yes, yeah.
What?
So this movie was just like...
So did you identify with any particular character?
All of them. I was like, you know, wanted to be an artist. I was a drummer. I was like a masculine, like person. And then I also was like this blooming sort of like redheaded...
Is that not confusing? Watching the movie though? Like, it's
that I'm everybody. Yeah. I think that was just, it was just like, I could see myself in every character kind of. And that was what really exciting about it was just like, you know, that any day I would watch it over and over again. So like, maybe now I'm Eric, maybe now I'm Amanda, maybe now I'm like Watts. I guess Eric is Keith.
I talk about Star Wars in the sense of like, I know I'm a Luke, but I want to be a Han. I always like wonder, like, are people like, oh, I am a Watts, but I want to be a Amanda.
Some would see me as Amanda because I was this like Leaf built skateboarding redheaded. I was in the band, the one school band, like the actual band. We played the dances.
But Amanda was the popular one, right?
Yes. And I was
anyone in band popular?
No, band, like a band, like a punk band.
Oh, a band. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I was in band and I was in a band. I was the lead singer of the band called The Red Plague. The guys who had me join, they didn't realize what The Red Plague was. They just thought it was a cool name. And I was like, you know, that's just your period, right? And they were like, no, we have to change the name now. And I'm like, well, it's too late. But also, if you have a cool female singer, a woman singer, and I wore red all the time, and like, but yeah, we played the high school dances.
Where I was, I wonder when it shifted. Well, it might have just been my school or who it happened to be, but the people that were in bands were not like the coolest people in my
it's like, a small town.
I was a small town too, right? Yeah. But it was just there was some reason. Well, it was Massachusetts, so it was like sports. If you did sports, that automatically made
we're Canadian, so sports didn't make you cool necessarily.
Certainly unless it was
hockey. We're like hockey players.
I could see that.
So northern Manitoba, hockey's big. But yeah, but this high school experience was nothing like my high school experience, high school experience. I'm like,
whenever I see these things with more than 20 people, like, I'm always like, what? Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. Wild. You don't know that person?
You have
that
a group? Change room full of hot girls. That doesn't happen. It's not real.
I thought that was interesting. I was like, I don't know. I got uncomfortable for a second. Like, everyone was covered.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was like one shot of Amanda Jones where it was like you could, but it's Watts looking at her, so it's supposed to be the female gaze, but it's definitely not the female gaze. It's definitely Howard being like, future wife.
I was thinking about the guy just running in. He chased her in there.
And he's like, there's nothing I've ever seen here before.
Oh, this was like, wow. Talk about the change in society where he could just lip off to the teacher, the female teacher. And there was no like, oh, yeah, you're expelled now.
Absolutely.
You're like, you could just. That this didn't even like, there was no moment here. It's like, and it wasn't even about, I don't know, unless there was dropped footage, like, what is this because he's rich? Is he known in town? I think it's because he's
rich, yeah.
Like, could have a poor kid have gotten away with that? Because I'm just like, that struck me as like, what?
Yes, yeah, because he just walks right into the girl's change room and then calls her a bitch.
He calls the teacher a bitch. How do you get away with that?
Be a bitch, why don't you?
And I was like, wait, is this because he's a man or is it because he's rich or is it because he's a rich man? I don't know. And I didn't know if there was a statement there. Yeah. But hey, let's give a shout out to John Hughes for having a film that he didn't end up in a strip club. I mean, I guess that's...
Yeah, well, that was nice.
80s, there was a lot of 80s films, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Just end up for some reason.
Yeah, but there's always like a pillow fight or a locker room scene. There, so they did so hit there the was, locker room.
Yeah, he did like kind of gaze at her.
Yeah. Yes. Well, because, but he did it. It was Watts. Watts is looking at Amanda Jones and they do the full body shot.
Okay. Because this is where it confuses, right?
Yes.
So this is out 1987, let's say. Yeah. So let's say I was watching it, right? I had watched it when it came out. So I would have been like 14. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Right.
13. I would have been 13 watching this. And then I would have been watching the scene and like she looks over at her and sees like, and sees.
Yeah. Emma and Thompson, I mean, she's wearing changing. Clothes.
Well, she's wearing underwear, but I would have been like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Right.
But then like the problem with this movie is then you're 20 years old and you're watching going, yeah, she's awesome because she's 25 or whatever.
She's
right?
25. Yeah. They're old.
So right. But you're watching this. So as a college student, you're like not thinking about younger people being off limits. No. Like even as a thing, you're like, because then it starts becoming, well, if they look old enough. As long as they look old enough, that's what matters. Like, I think it is
confusing.
I think it was very confusing. I think I do believe in the power of mass media. And I believe that you would have a bunch of teenage boys growing up thinking it's okay to ogle teenage girls, right?
Absolutely.
And so then they get past college where they start looking like the kids. They start looking finally like the high schoolers do, but they're in college. So then they start looking at these, the only people that'll date them because they don't have any.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Is high school girl. So they start dating high. I will put some blame on movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think even 70s a bit. I will put a blame on movies making a whole generation of boys think it's okay to be with younger. Let's forget that a lot of people are marrying like 15 year olds and stuff. We'll set that aside. That was bad enough. But like, I don't think movies helped it at all. And I think it got some confusion growing up, like for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I was telling my daughter how like I had a girlfriend that I had in college was a freshman. And I was like trying to remember if I was a sophomore or
a freshman
junior.
A
freshman in college.
Freshman in college, so right? That's the first year of college because they call it freshman in grade 9 too, right?
I should clarify.
No, so freshman,
so I'm
in college.
Junior in college,
yes,
and I had a girlfriend who was
a freshman. I feel like college, that 4 years is like anyone
but
can date anyone.
I was trying
in there.
To explain to my daughter how this wasn't wrong because she was like, dude, that's gross. I was like, she was 18 and I
you're in college,
okay, but first off, as soon as I said she was 18, I was like, I'm in the wrong here. Okay, I can't use her age as an excuse. And I was like, she was on the younger side looking, right? But she wasn't. But like for some reason, we were trying to go, you know, when you hit college, you become independent. There's a lot of maturity that happens in people. So it's not like.
Oh, yeah. I was 19 and I dated a 30-year-old. And he was less mature than I was. And I had dated more people. And he was like,
weird.
Let's get serious. And I was like, let's not get serious. I'm 19 years old. I'm not marrying you. And he was like, and I was like, you should probably date people your own age. Because I'm not interested in the things you're interested in. But I went on a truck trip across America with him. My parents didn't know. Because I was independent at this age, right? Like, you know. I started babysitting when I was 12. I started working when I was 15. I moved out at 18. I lived on my own. I didn't go back home after.
Yeah.
I was an adult. I had jobs. I had a university. I felt like I could date whomever I wanted at that point.
Yeah.
I didn't feel the way that kids feel today. I didn't feel young. I felt mature. I didn't feel like men had any sort. I was raised in the 90s where like women were equal. And so I was like, I got to choose. And not that people weren't trashy and awful.
Yeah.
I just didn't date a lot of awful men because my dad was like a lawyer and a judge. And so I saw what horrible humans looked like. And I just said, I'm not going to, if anyone shows any signs of aggression, if anyone shows any signs of like misogyny or talking down to me or racist or homophobic, I just don't date them. Right. So like I had, but that was still the 90s. And like, that one guy, like the 30-year-old, like I went to a club with my 19-year-old friends. They're all hot girls.
Yeah.
I'm like the weirdo outsider goth girl. And then there's like these 30-year-old guys who come into the club and they all see my hot friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell the rest of the story because it's definitely body storytelling. But he and I us two goth, where he's shorter, he drives a truck because his uncle owns a company. He's a Mormon or Mennonite or something. Yeah. So he hasn't been really allowed to date. He and I are talking on the side about like Nine Inch Nails and like all of the things and like having real conversations. And then these three girls and these three other guys are like, let's go back to the house. And then they end up dating these three guys and I end up dating this guy.
Yeah.
And, but it just was like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? We're 19. We can do whatever we want. Yeah, it was wild.
Free real.
Yes, the 80s. I was raised on 80s and 90s movies. So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So everyone just thought it was okay.
And I mean, forever the plot, there's always this plot of the guy looking for the unattainable girl, right? This.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it reverses too, right? I guess. And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
But
yeah.
It's hard sometimes because I try to remember like what happened, what was a film before this, because it so much is derivative, right? You get films later, and so I'm like, yes. I don't know where this in the lexicon of all that lasted. I mean, but it's a classic story that I think it's not necessarily an original story,
no,
but it is like I do think it's a nice. I like the way they told it. I'll
yes,
say that.
Exactly.
I really enjoyed
and like
that.
My 16-year-old self, it was formative, right? And yeah. That's, I think, why it was important to me. And it sort of stood the test of time in my eyes. I have a few favorite scenes, like, you know, the scene, obviously the kiss scene I was a fan of when I was 16.
Yeah.
But my child is playing some sort of Minecraft game with his friends. And I've got I'm like, do you want to watch this movie with me? And he was like, no. And my eldest was like, no. And so I'm watching it on the wall. It's a huge wall.
Yeah.
And my kiddo's playing a game. And he turns around just as the kiss scene is happening. So it's this giant wall-sized kiss scene. And he goes, my mom is watching a kissing movie right now. And I'm like, can you please be specific that I'm doing this as research for a podcast?
Yeah.
And he's like, and I was like, of all the scenes, there's like only really one scene that in the whole movie. And he just turned his head at that time. And I was like, oh, my poor child.
What do you think the lesson from the film is? Is there anything different in this than any other? Is it simply like, don't miss the person right next to you that's always been there? Or
I guess that's maybe it. I think the essential lesson is that you should stand up to your parents to for what you believe in. Like that is my, like when he stands up to his dad and he says, just it's my life. When does my life become my life? That was kind of, as a teenager, that was the lesson. It was like, oh, at what point do I get to say, this is my life? Right. Cause his dad is just ragging on him about college over and over and over again. And he's like, not into it. He wants to be an artist. He wants to work on cars. That's all he wants to do. And his dad, like that classist thing where you want your kids to do better than you did. But that kid's just like,
is that a classist thing though? To really? I mean, we all want our kids to be better. Have a better life.
No, I don't think they do. But rich people, their kids can't have better lives than them. They just kind of like coddle them and then pay the money.
But
they don't make them force them into being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever.
Rich wealthy, yes. I'm certain that this dude, what's his name, the
Cliff?
The dick, yeah, no,
oh,
no,
Hardy, yeah,
even though he's a rich kid,
they don't talk about what he does or if he works or anything.
Right. I'm sure he doesn't and stuff, but I bet there is, I don't think he's at the level because he's still at a public school.
Fair
Hardy,
points.
Right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I bet he has expectations that he is going to go. I mean, maybe the expectation is you're going to go to Ivy League and you're going to be a business major. You're going to do that and you're going to be you're going to run a company.
You're
That's
right.
What
because
you
they
do.
Don't show that side. They don't even really look at the rich side,
but
which
he's
fine.
Obviously. Not getting love.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though his parents are probably doing their best to like, we're providing for you, dude. We set you up. You should be thankful.
Well, he's
left out there
in the
he's
middle
an
of
asshole.
The week or whatever.
Yeah.
He's horrible.
I mean, there is, I do think that there's still expectation. We all want our children. I mean, there's the expression, the whole, my grandfather walked so that my dad could drive a Chevy. My dad yes. drove a
this is back to our age old conversation from
dad drove
auto.
A Chevy so that I could mm-hmm. drive so that I could drive a BMW.
Yes.
My grandkids will probably walk because right. we create hardship creates drive.
Yes.
And success will make you lazy.
Yeah.
So
like, yeah, my dad came from a blue collar family, so he was the only one to go to university. He didn't speak yeah. English until he was like 6 or 7 years old. And he ended up, his brothers all were like, you know, a security guard, milkman, mechanic, and like a jack of all trades. And then he got scooped to go to, because he was Métis, to a Catholic school.
Yeah.
And so he had to go to a Catholic school. And so he got educated.
Right.
And then they gave him back to his mom and they were like, here you go. Now you have this educated kid. And then he went to school and he ended up in a university degree. But he wanted to do French literature. He was kind of like Keith. He did it really well. And then he followed a girl into the LSAT. He helped her study and he passed and she didn't. And so he ended up a lawyer.
That's funny. Well, by accident,
he was a lawyer.
We may not be money driven people as much, but I still think we want better for our kid. Like, I imagine you want your children to not have to have the issues with gender that you did growing up, right?
Right. They don't.
Right. But like, we always want something better for our kids. So absolutely. I just have a hard time faulting him for wanting that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, no, I don't fault him.
Okay.
But I think because as I watched it as a kid, so I was on the kid's side.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm watching it as an adult, I totally understand them, like him being like, I don't want you to have to do what I have to do. Right. Yeah. I don't want you to come home. And then that scene where he goes, I don't want you to have to wash your hands after a day of work. And then Keith holds up his hands, 'cause he's just come home from like the car shop, and he's like, just gives him a nod. And he's like, look, I'm already doing it.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't want him to be an art student either. So he's like my dad got to the point where like, he was like, okay, you're going to be an artist. I see this. I wish that you would get a backup career so I got an education degree.
Right. Well, it's funny because, I mean, remember there's a time period, whether it's, I mean, maybe it's always been there, but people didn't think of things being able to make money doing it because for some reason people couldn't connect. Oh, you like to draw, that you could be a graphic designer or a marketing person. Like, you can get into some people just can't connect that. Everyone thought video games is a waste of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My thing is always like, how come if someone's buying things like a video game, how did parents not see that there was a business in video games?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. At very least, they could work for that company. Like,
absolutely.
Like, people don't connect, like, have problems connecting that. Because it's out of their norm or whatever. So
totally.
I'm always like, my dad, I'm like, well, you can work in anything you want. Like, if you're just if you're interested, do it. Sometimes.
Yes. Which is, I think that's where the point is, that we're not forcing our kids to be doctors and lawyers.
But sometimes I do think I have a problem with that, is the fact that I can, because I'm able to provide for my kids, you know, so they don't have to struggle and think about it.
Yeah.
I'm also, I do think there is a problem in me giving her the freedom to choose what she wants.
Yeah,
because now she has all the choices.
Decision by
paralysis. Yeah, it's and so paralysis, she doesn't have a thing.
Absolutely.
Because at least if I was telling her, you need
what
to be
to do,
go
then
be
she
an
can
accountant.
Decide what not to do.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Because if I was like, you need to be like a good job, like an accountant.
Should we retool our parenting? Because I feel like
reverse psychology, so that she can decide what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I'll support anything you want. And I was like, maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't
first
think
child's
you can...
an experiment. That's what I figured.
First pancake. Yeah. No. Well, I remember being in a room full of people who didn't have kids. And they were like, well, you're a parent, so like, tell us something like that you learned parenting. And I'm like, you're going to fuck it up. You can't. There's no way not to. You love them. You love them too much. You don't love them. You don't love them enough. You do whatever you do, it's going to be wrong, because at some point they're going to have to rebel against you, because it's in our DNA to differentiate from our parents so that we can survive in the wild, which we don't have to do anymore.
Right.
So my eldest, he doesn't go to school. He's online. working at school, right? And his dad is like, get up every day. Like his dad has like big 90s, 80s dad vibes where it's like, I want you to be successful. I want you to do things with your life. Yeah. And here I am. I'm like, I just want you to be happy. Like, I don't, cause like being a queer kid is hard already. Like your life is already hard. You're autistic. You're queer. It's hard. It's a hard life.
Yeah.
So just like, please just don't die. That's my, I just want you to be alive. And I love for you to like, but he's so brilliant. Right.
Yeah.
And he loves critiquing anime. He's a TikTok. His TikTok has more likes than I've gotten across all of my platforms in 25 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he's, and he's just like, he's doing his thing and he doesn't have to leave his room a lot.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, that is the future anyway, because with AI, the only thing that we're going to be able to produce as humans is critiquing
food,
content.
Maybe? Critiquing content. Like
that's
human.
That's the only thing we have.
This is, this is a human critique of
the
this.
Only thing I can do is really comment on things. All my other needs are taken care of, but society still says I have to have a job for some reason.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And my youngest just cleaned his own setup, he calls it. Because he does YouTube videos. So he was cleaning and he said, could I get some scented spray to spray my desk? And could I like also spray paint it green? So when people see my desk, that they'll like what they see. And these, I'm going to decorate it. And I was like, this is okay. But Silas, yesterday it was full of Doritos and Ferrero Rocher. And then I don't know what his friend said to him today, but he was like cleaning. And I'm like, this is not me.
That's hilarious.
To clean. Yeah. So like, he's motivated
because he's getting comments on his YouTube channel like, get a clean you're up, you're set. Oh,
your setup. Yes,
I need to get that.
Exactly.
I'll lose some views if my place is dirty. Man, maybe that's what I need to talk to my daughter about.
Yeah. Because I can't tell them anything.
My daughter doesn't produce anything. My daughter consumes. So I'm like, part of me is like, is it because I'm doing it? Is it because I'm always doing something that she's like, yeah, I'm not doing all these.
Oh, I thought that, but my kids both are like me. They're like, okay. They make stuff. They do stuff. They're always, they're coordinating things. My eldest, when he was 8, he like put together a whole play group because I hadn't signed him up for camp. It's wild that because he's just like, well, that's what you do, right? You make flyers, you tell people they're going to be at the library, you book the library, you like bring in books, you like bring in snacks, he was 8 years old sitting at was it Grateful Bread out in like Bryant. And I went in to go get chocolate croissants and I came out and he was sitting next to this man and his children saying, yeah, no, you should come to the first library play date. And the man was like, this your kid? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And then my kid goes, flyer. But I like it. But like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So like sometimes they just see what you do and they go, oh yeah, then I'll do that too. So
okay.
They'll be doing movie podcasts someday.
So
yes,
I have one
last thing.
I think there's one thing about this film that hurts it for a timelessness. The music.
I love the music, Silas.
But it's
I love
so
it.
Dated. It is so dated to the time period. And some of that synthesizer music is awful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not the songs, but the scoring of it. The scoring of it is.
It's a snapshot of the time, right? As opposed to like movies that try to capture what the 80s were like. It is actually the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's like.
He didn't try.
As a cult classic.
They were trying. They weren't. What's weird to me is how. Because one of my favorite movies of all time is It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm.
There's, other than black and white, I mean, set in time, music can make you really into a film at the time, but man, I feel like it can knock you out of, I felt like it was knocking me out of the being absorbed into the film.
Right.
Because it was distractingly 80s.
Did have music video vibes.
Oh my God. What is that synthesizer playing right now?
Like, I think for me, because I listened to the soundtrack, right? I had it in my car. It would play it over and over again. Okay, it brought me back.
Soundtrack, fine. I'm talking score. I'm talking the score.
Oh, but the score was a little like.
That's what songs I'm fine with because, that is a listen. Yeah. And you can listen to all
but
of
yes.
them.
Yes. No, 80s. You're right. Yeah.
The score. Don't score with the synthesizer. I wish if I could go back in time Just tell people to use a piano. Do something. Yes. Don't. No, your synthesizer is going to your drum beats.
They couldn't know.
You have a real drummer in it, and you're using a drum synthesizer as your music, as your score. What do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. If I had a time machine, I would go back to the 80s and say, everybody, stop scoring your films with the modern.
Yes.
But it is an accurate
80s movie.
Yes.
So, and
it buries it in the 80s. Besides the hairstyles.
You're right. Yeah, I know.
But okay, that was why I was and I will say, I think it's a good film if my biggest gripe about it is the music to
it. Is the music.
So on my my rating scale, love it, like it or lose it, it's your favorite movie of all time. It's obviously a love it for you. Right?
Yes, right. But with that caveat, if I watched it now and hadn't seen it when I was 16, I would probably be like it. But because it was like integral part of building my own character, it's a love it.
That's fair. I'm gonna give it a like it too. I think it has because of its dynamite acting, I see wonderfully written scenes.
Yes. And the satisfaction of everyone winning at the end except for Hardy. Oh, that slap.
Yeah.
Just one slap. Nope. We need to. Ugh.
I will say I was a little I actually wanted him to lose harder because the guy's like, now you're done. And I'm like, what happened to him? He just got rejected in front of people at his party. That's it. That's all it took.
No, well, I mean, he leaves them with the punks, right? Like they're going to get shit kicked and then they're going to take all of their girlfriends. Like it's over. It's over for them because
it's over.
The class is, it's the class clash, right?
The class. People are going to see how. I would have liked to see him get his a little more.
Yeah.
Where's the classic 80s fall into a pool or something? Like, you know, where's the pie in the face? Something.
Right. Well, really I just love that it was Amanda Jones got to slap him.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. It was because in the end, like it was about her
back
taking
then,
her life back.
1987. Yeah. The shame of a woman slapping you.
Right. I would have taken out that weird double take. There where it's like she slaps him and then they pan to the punk and Keith looking at each other like with like the big open mouths, which is like from maybe like a Ferris Bueller kind of thing. But I'm like, but you're right. Eric Stoltz cannot pull that off. Can't do it. He's too serious.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that he did have one romantic lead in his life because I think the rest was like just
was this it?
Ask. Have you seen him as a romantic lead anywhere else?
There's so many movies.
He's the skeezy guy in Pulp Fiction. He's the lead in Mask where he like is like a kid with a face that is with Cher, right? But like, what else has Eric Stoltz done?
Pulp Fiction, Mask, some kind of butterfly effect. Ooh, yeah. That's what he's known for. I cannot see. Yeah, you're right there. I think
were like redheaded male lead. Nope, sorry, not gonna happen. That was one time, but he also has such a soft voice, right? Like that. At some point, we decided what masculine was and what romantic leads get to be, and they were like Eric Stoltz. It's not you, and it makes me so sad because I adored him.
He. Well, isn't Jerry Maguire? I don't remember the role.
I'm like, he was never ever.
Well, he
like,
really got pushed into TV.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
Mary Stuart Masterson had a career as like the girl in movies, like the romantic kind of side girl, I think for a while, right? Like sometimes the lead, maybe some sort of, I don't know. It was Marissa Tomei took all of her spots.
All of her spots?
Yeah. And I was for it. I love Marissa Tomei.
Was she didn't she get in the did she not let's see what Benny and June
yeah Benny and June
Fried Green Tomatoes
yep
I was trying to think if
she's very similar
for some
to
reason
the
I wanted to say did
volume.
She end up in the L Word? She wasn't in the L Word?
No, I don't think so.
She was uncredited in The Postman. Interesting. I love looking at IMDb's like, man,
yeah,
she
me too.
Really did.
Yeah.
She got a lot. I was like, I was trying to remember where I knew her first from. because
when I love an actor, I tend to like watch all of their movies, like just go. And then, I watched all of the Corey's movies, both together and separate, the Haim and Feldman combination in my like late teens. I just like, cause I could go to the video store and just go find them all and just like take them home. And so in the '80s, I've watched almost every 80s movie, I think, that existed. Oh, James Spader. Ugh, I just remembered him. I was like, that was the darker side of the 80s.
Yeah, James Spader was, he's a, he's cool. Okay, yeah. So, I'm going to give it a like it. I did enjoy it for a number of reasons. I think it's a good film, and I'm going to, it'll be the test of my daughter. I was like, she watches it. If she
not gonna like it, she can't possibly like it. If she does, tell me. But like, there's no way our children will ever look at this movie and go, that's great, because it's changed. Like, everything has changed. It's not Audrey Hepburn. Like, I watched all those movies and I was like, these are really good for the most part, except for the racist bits, where you're just like, no, I'm sorry, don't do that.
Yeah, I could, but I say I could see this in a, when you're like if she's directing something herself, or like there's a familiar vibe to it. It's like, you know what you should watch? You got to watch Some Kind of Wonderful. Check that out. Totally. I think that'll give you some inspiration for this, this kind of thing.
That and Hackers.
As you're knocking off the plots or different films that are remind you of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, thank you for sharing this one. I'm
thank you for watching it and taking an adult's perspective on it. Like, why is this happening?
So, and hey, you listeners, check it out. Some Kind of Wonderful. It's actually available on HBO Max for it free. So that's where I saw it. So go and enjoy it. And thank you for listening. And thank you, Wake, for coming on. And thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.